This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمدًا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدًا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بين يدي الساعة بشيرًا ونظيرًا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Indeed, all praise and thanks is due and belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah jalla wa ala alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his final messenger. I want to mention and concentrate this particular khutbah with a verse where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us about what has been done, what is happening and will continue to happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the actions of certain people that they have done, they are doing now and they will continue to do, and the natija and the result of that particular action. And in the context of how we live in this worldly life, it should give the Muslim a perspective and understanding of many, many things. So let me start with that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he is sent to the people of Mecca. Not alone, of course, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a mercy to all of mankind. But he, alayhi salatu wasalam, born in Mecca, and the call that he was given at the age of 40, alayhi salatu wasalam, calling the Arabs, the Quraysh, at that particular time, who had, of course, completely misunderstood, did not know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, did not understand and give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his rights with regards to his names and attributes, when they would say, "Waman Rahman," who is Ar-Rahman, who is the most merciful? They would reject these things. They would reject the fact that there is an akhirah, that there is a hereafter where they're taken to account. So their understanding was very distorted. This was their society. So a people who were not working for the akhirah. The Quraysh were a people not striving, not looking to better their communities or their societies for them to face something for the akhirah. So a person or a people who reject the akhirah, they reject that there is an accounting, what will they focus on? They have one left. They will focus on their dunya. They will focus on the here and right now. That will be the mentality. It's not something that necessarily they are thinking about 24 hours a day, but because of the concept of the akhirah is not with them, they will be focused on, they will be focused on the dunya. What destroys us? The dunya, our lives. You become old, you die, you become dust, and that is it. Even the Quraysh at the time, they would mock the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and they would see like dust on the floor or bones and crush it and say, "Allah will bring us back from this." This was the level of jahl. This was the level of ignorance that they had. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam begins to call his people back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the poor, the rich, the weak, the strong, step by step people begin to accept al-Islam. These people who recognize Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as their Lord, the one to be worshipped alone, that there is an akhirah, that there is a hereafter, that they will make sacrifices, that these people who are embracing Islam, you can't pay them off. You can't give them some worldly gift in the hope that they will give up the akhirah. No, these were the best of people. And their certainty, their yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the promise that was to be given to them could not be shaken. So when the call was spreading amongst the people in Mecca, and the Quraysh began to sense or to realize that the stronghold or the power that they assumed that they had was weakening. So what could they do? What could they do to stem, to stop the spread of al-Islam? So they went to Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who did not embrace Islam, but they spoke to him, going directly to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No chance of convincing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam otherwise. They tried time after time, but he alayhi salatu wasalam was Rasulullah, not to be purchased or bought by any worldly item. So to go to Abu Talib, to go to his uncle, "Speak to your nephew to us. Speak to him. Tell him to stop." Is it just merely just to stop him? No, no, no. What does he want? Now, a people who only think that this is the world that you live in, and this is your existence from the beginning to the end, there's nothing in the akhirah, what can they give you? What can they offer you? All they can give to you or offer you is the best that they can offer you in the dunya. And what is in this dunya ultimately will end, has a sell-by date. So all they could offer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, "We'll make him king." Does he want to be in charge of everything? We'll give him that position, a position in the dunya. Does he want amwal? Does he want money? We'll give him money. Does he want to have or be able to marry from the most beautiful women? Dunya, dunya, dunya. That's all they could offer. And those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have this distorted understanding of the akhirah, all can be offered to these people, and all they will offer others is dunya. The worldly items of on this that we existence that we have, and ultimately the believer knows everything on this earth will come to an end. and that you'll be taken to account by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That no true believer is willing to sacrifice their akhirah, eternal happiness and bliss with Rabb al-Alameen, al-Jannah, that you will be in al-Jannah. Are you willing to sell that? Literally to sell it for some cheap, sell-by-date ending item from this worldly life. Of course, this was rejected clearly by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there will be many people, لا يفقهون, that they do not understand this reality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that throughout time there will be people, they were like this, continue to be like that at the time of the Prophet alayhi wasallam, and also in the future. So Fir'aun, who thought he was a lord to be worshipped besides Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, treated his people as slaves, oppressed them and wronged them, thought nothing could harm him. There was no mass army of people to take him down, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was to destroy him and to make him a sign until the coming of the hour. So Fir'aun was destroyed. Ad, Thamud, all of these people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, who had great power, were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in times where subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purified the earth from all those who disbelieved in him, like a new start. So between Nuh alayhi salam and Adam alayhi salam, asharat qurun, 10 generations, 10 centuries. All those people upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Adam alayhi salam to the time of Nuh. And in the time of Nuh, people then start to worship other than Allah jalla wa'ala, and they were all drowned. A new start. Like a second father of mankind, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. But again, people didn't take heed of this. And people will continue to believe that their control over this worldly life, their amassing and hub and love and desire for this worldly life will overtake everything else. All they will see in front of them is the dunya, and they will forget about working for the akhirah. So during the battle of Badr, Abu Sufyan, who at this time, of course, was not a Muslim, and the other leaders of the Quraysh began to amass their wealth. Jama'ul Amwal. They began to amass their wealth. Why? To fight against who? To fight against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma nafa'uhum. Their spending their wealth did not benefit them. At the time of Uhud, 1,000 as the army that they had at the Battle of Badr wasn't enough. Let us bring 3,000 this time. Again, amassing their wealth during the time of Uhud. Again, they were unsuccessful in their mission to destroy the Muslims. Even though it was a setback for the Muslims, no doubt, during the Battle of Uhud, where there were 70 from the Shuhada. But this was no victory for the Kufar. Again, another 2 years later, in the Battle of Ahzab, between 5,000 and 7,000, if not more, increasing their numbers each time, amassing their wealth each time to fight against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا نَفَعُهُمْ. That did not benefit them. But this is all they had. All they had was their worldly belongings and their worldly items to try and fight against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were unsuccessful back then. And anyone who has the same ideology will continue to be unsuccessful. So this is the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what I wanted to mention to you for us to think about. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for those who disbelieve, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَصُدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those who disbelieve, they spend their wealth against and fighting against the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا. And they will continue to amass and spend their wealth Remember what is mentioned, عن سبيل الله, to try and prevent the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreading. To try and prevent the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being superior. And what do they want to replace kalimatu la ilaha illallah with? All these isms and schisms and ideologies that they have. A people who do not realize who they're fighting against. They just see it, we're going to spend this money to fight against the Muslims. The Muslims whom Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, the mu'minun, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the guardian and the protector of the mu'minun. They are in fact trying to fight against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his deen, and they will spend their money. فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرَةً. And that their spending of this wealth, they will continue to spend it. This will be in their sight, أَشَدُّ النَّدْمِ. This will be the most severest of regrets that they will have. Because they are spending, and they are spending their money, not millions, billions and billions and billions, putting themselves into debt, putting their people into debt, inflation, taxes, the people in the streets complaining, what are you doing to our economies? You are making us bankrupt. And after they're spending all of this money, and they have this regret, ثُمَّ يُغْلَبُونَ. And in the end, they are defeated. The Muslims are victorious. Does it end there? No. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ يُحْشَرُونَ. And then the disbelievers are thrown, all gathered into the hellfire. So they will spend their money. And they will continue to spend their money. They will try to influence, they will try to coerce, and try to change the mentality of the people with what? With batil, with falsehood. And this is something that I mentioned in the previous khutbah, in their efforts to try and spread disbelief, falsehood, to try and change the minds of people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed within every human being a fitra, a purity in which there are certain things that the nafs cannot accept, will refuse to accept. No matter how much money you spend, the nafs will refuse it. And this is what is clear. So they are spending their money in the billions, and they see that they are losing. They see that they are losing. Because you cannot cover the truth. You cannot bury the truth. It is impossible. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that. So regardless of the situation, whatever the Muslim faces, there is no loss for us. There is no loss. And some of the Quraysh were at the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Some of them realized that. When they tried to have an agreement with the Prophet ﷺ, one of them, he goes back. He says, you cannot defeat these people. The Muslims, they cannot be defeated. They don't lose. I have never seen a people who attach themselves and follow a messenger or follow a man like those who follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I have been to Rome, the Byzantines. I have been to Persia. I have seen how they treat their leaders. But the Muslims, my advice to you is let them be and do not fight them. Islam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his deen, will prevail. The ending story, much of this story is to appear. As we know, Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, that he will come back and he will establish al-Islam on this earth. He will establish justice and fairness. The oppressors will be destroyed. The wrongdoers will be taken care of. So they have their time, they believe now. And how long do they have? A 4-year stint, a 5-year stint, however time that they think that they are super powerful. And then they will be humiliated. Never think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave these people alone. A time will come for every single one of them. Anyone who has taken in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you see the images, And sometimes you see the images, more often than not, you see the images and you think, I cannot bear to see this. What the person went through, what the person faced, what this shaheed, what this martyr faced, the pain that they felt, as you presume in this worldly life, in the breaking of bones, the body parts separated. They did not feel, because this was in the path of Allah Jalla wa'ala, as you feel a little pin, a pinprick on your hand, they didn't even feel that. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors those people. And those people who are around and see this, and some of their reactions and their responses. How can the person be smiling? How can the person be happy to lose their beloved one in such a manner? Because they realize the reality of what these people are moving on to. But once you and I restrict what we see to this worldly life, for sure you will feel huzn, you will feel a state of desperation and sadness, because did it end there? It did not end there. Rather, this was the beginning for those people. This short time and minutes that they had here ended. And they move on to the next life. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessings of Allah jalla wa ala be upon his final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, wal akhiratu khayrun wa abqa, that the hereafter is better and everlasting. So regardless of what you see in this worldly life, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is arhamur rahimin, the most merciful, ahkamul hakimin, the most wise and the most just in all of his decrees, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the Muslim knows how to treat this worldly life in as never deceived by this worldly life. أَرَضِيتُم بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ. Are you pleased with this worldly life over the hereafter? Are you satisfied with what you have now? What is this world compared to the akhirah? In how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the example of this worldly life is, compared to the akhirah, is like the example of any one of you placing their finger in the sea and then pulling it out, and what remains on your finger, that piece or drop of water, compared to that oceans in front of you. Any comparison? It is nothing. In fact, what you see on the tip of your finger is maybe the glistening of the water, not even a drop. This dunya compared to akhirah is nothing. It is nothing. However, do not forget your portion of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you in this dunya. Those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled you to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is what you utilize. And do not forsake that. And this is the correct understanding of how to deal with this dunya. Utilize what Allah jalla wa ala has given to you to better yourself and to make the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supreme. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those people. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر أهل غزة يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر أهل غزة. اللهم انصر أهل غزة يا رب العالمين. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا يا أرحم الراحمين وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدًا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قامت الصلاة قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استقيموا الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.